So like I said, we're starting a two-week series on being generous or generosity, and I'm excited and I hope you guys are too. So let me just start with a story whilst the band comes and sits down. Now, something that struck me over the last few years and being a part of this community is that it is nearly impossible to go out for breakfast or lunch or dinner with some members of this community and actually end up paying for your meal. Now, I'm not saying that we do a runner, but some of you will know what I'm talking about. It'll get to a time during the evening where you'll see someone surreptitiously get up from the table and walk over to the cash register and pay for everyone's meal. And it's now almost become a ritual that the rest of us will get up to the cash register with our wallets out, only to be told it's all been paid for. And we'll try to give that person some money, but they'll refuse. And I remember my grandma used to be the same. She was an extremely generous person, and so when we'd go to visit her, she'd try and give us money, almost like an appearance fee. And of course we'd refuse, but she'd insist, and she was a very insistent woman. So what we would do is we'd take the money, and as we were walking out the door, we'd put it on the table just before we left, and then run out the door, and she'd yell at us as we're running away laughing. And I feel very blessed by the number of generous people in my life and in this community. And I want to start this series talking about the why of generosity, why it is important that as a Christian, that as a follower of Christ, we should be generous. And then next week, James is going to get up and talk really practically about the how, about how you can be a more generous person. And I bet as soon as I say the words generous, you immediately just think of money. And we're going to touch on that a bit tonight, but for two things. Number one, God calls us to be generous with more than just our money. And number two, if you clenched up when you heard that money was going to be discussed tonight, then that probably shows the power it has over you. So tonight we're going to be talking about why you should be generous with your time, why you should be generous with your talents, and why you should be generous with your treasure. We're going to talk about how the Christian life is a giving life and that it's an overflow of our relationship with the Savior who does nothing but give abundantly to us. Now, why do we need to do a series like this? Well, I think it's because more and more we're becoming a less generous society. So let's use money as an example. It's the easiest one to measure. On average, what percentage of their income do you think people give as charitable donations? Share with the person next to you. What percentage of a person's income do you think, on average, people give as charitable donations? Yeah, Phoebe knows the answer. Okay. All right, Chris, I think, wants to share. Chris, how much? What's going on in your family, Chris? Who else wants to guess? 2.5? That was Christians. All right, the answer is... Yeah, this is Australian. The answer is 0.4%. So less than 0.5%. So let's forget about tithing. Let's talk about wanting. But anyway. And I think it's because two of the biggest goals that people have today are to get rich and to get known or to be seen and to be liked and admired. Two very self-focused goals which are completely contrary to what the Bible says we should be focused on. So what I want us to do instead in this series is reject the selfishness that culture calls us towards and instead reflect the generosity that God wants from us. So let's talk about, first off, why you should be generous with your time. Now, to me, your time is the greatest gift that you can give anyone. And we all have it, and you can choose how you spend it. And think of your strongest friendships that you have. One of the key characteristics of that friendship is that you're both willing to spend time with one another. Like if you had a friend who was going through a really tough time and you told them that you were friends, but then you didn't spend any time with them, if you prioritized other things over them, then what does that tell your friend? Thank you. Yes, that's what I was about to say. No. Oh. I know. It's a problem with pausing for effect. On the other hand, I remember just one day I was feeling really down, like really down in the dumps, and I called up a friend and immediately they stopped what they were doing and they came and just hung out with me. This friend of mine was really generous with his time. He sacrificed what he was doing to help me. So how do you spend your time? Is it just on yourself or is it on others? So you should be generous with your time. You should be looking for the ways you can use your time to help others, because every breath you take is a gift from God, and he calls us to be generous with it and to help relieve the needs of others. So let me use two pieces of scripture to back up that statement. In Acts chapter 17, Paul is talking to the people of Athens, and he's describing God, and he says, "God is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, God himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else." Your breath is a gift from God. And then in Hebrews 6:10, the author says, "God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them." See, there are some people here who are extremely generous with their time. Even on Monday night when we had the young adults dinner, there were some people who came and helped clean up and some others who helped set up. Or even in this service, there are people who help set up the tea and coffee and everything else so that we can worship God. These things don't just magically appear and disappear every week. People use their time to serve. So how do you use your time? And what are some of the ways that you have been generous with your time, sacrificed your time recently to serve others? And that moves me into being generous with our talents, with the gifts that God has given us. A favorite quote of mine is that your talents and gifts are God's gift to you, and how you use them is your gift to God. Your talents and gifts are God's gift to you, and how you use them is your gift to God. See, every single person here has been given a gift by God with the purpose that this gift will help others. No matter how big or small you think that gift is, God has given it to you with a purpose. And this is from 1 Peter 4. He says, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." So do you use your talents and gifts to help others? Is it done for your glory or for God's? Because you can serve with your time and your gifts, but if you're doing it for yourself, then you're not really serving God, are you? There's an NBA basketball player, his name's Isaiah Thomas. And he said this, "If all I'm remembered for is being a good basketball player, then I've done a bad job with the rest of my life." How do you use the talents and gifts that you've been given? See, being able to use a computer is a talent that God has given you and that you can use to serve others. I mean, we're struggling with data projector helpers and audio desk as well. You can use your talents and gifts to serve others. And trust me, as someone who works in IT, not everyone can use a computer. I remember when I started a job, we had to have an in-service on how to save a Microsoft Word document. Like, there's different levels of computer skill out there. Being able to listen with a sympathetic ear when they're struggling is a gift that God has given you to help and serve others. Being able to drive a car, like, it doesn't have to be a big gift. But how do you use what you can do? How do you use the talents that God has given you to serve others? And so finally, let's look at treasure. And you know, I feel like I owe you guys a bit of an apology for not speaking on money at this service more, because if we were to follow Jesus' speaking plan based on the topics that he talked about the most, then we'd be doing a sermon on money almost once every 4 weeks. Jesus spoke more about money than heaven and hell combined. Jesus spoke more about money than prayer. But this, along with relationships, tends to get put in the difficult pile because people are so protective of this issue. And so I apologize for not speaking on it more, but this is where our vision statement comes in. Because one of our vision points is that we want this service to be a service where we are actively engaging, modeling, and teaching on giving such that the church can continue to flourish through the calling that God gives each person. That's what we want this service to be. But as I do talk about money, I want to start by making two points clear. Number one, we are not hiding offering baskets underneath your chair, nor will we be passing around an offering plate at the end of this service, so you can breathe a little easier. And number two, I've made this point before, but it bears repeating. God is not trying to get your money. He is trying to stop your money from getting you. The reason that Jesus talks about money so much is because he knows that the number one thing that will compete with your heart for his affection is the love and worship you have of money. in Matthew 6, so the very famous Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says these words. He says, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." See, God already owns everything. He doesn't need our money. Like, do you think he's up in heaven crossing his fingers saying, "Well, I really hope Matt puts $20 in today or else I might be stuffed." God isn't poor. He isn't after our money. Instead, God is after something infinitely more valuable. He's after our hearts. And that is so much more valuable to him. And he knows that our hearts are easily distracted around money and possessions. So that's why he talks about it so much. And not only that, God's kingdom is a much better investment than anything here on earth. So Steve Jobs died a couple of years ago. Guess how much money he left behind? It was the same as everyone else who died that day. It was all of it. You do not take anything with you after you die. It's an eternally bad investment to put all your stocks into getting rich here. Instead, Jesus would tell us to invest into his kingdom. And just before that statement there where he says you can't serve two masters, Jesus said this, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." See, a lot of us think that fame and fortune, these will solve all of our problems. And I must admit, one of the funniest things I've heard at this church was one of the young adults who said to me, "I've got 99 problems and more money would solve about 80 of them." But I'm telling you, if you make more, if you make making money your goal, your focus, then you'll never be content. So Brad Pitt, he was interviewed about the American Dream about the time that Fight Club came out. Now, who here has seen Fight Club? Yeah, a lot of you shouldn't have. And this is what he said about chasing money and fame. He said, "Man, I know all these things are supposed to seem important to us. The car, the condo, our version of success. But if that's the case, why is the general feeling out there reflecting more impotence and isolation and desperation and loneliness? If you ask me, I say toss all this. We got to find something else. Because all I know is that at this point in time, we are heading for a dead end." And he continued in the interview with the quote, "The emphasis now is on success and personal gain. I'm sitting in it and I'm telling you, that's not it. I'm the guy who's got everything, I know, but I'm telling you, once you've got everything, then you're just left with yourself. I've said it before and I'll say it again, it doesn't help you sleep any better and you don't wake up any better because of it." So let's compare that to the Apostle Paul. Poor by our standards, not living a life of comfort. I mean, he got shipwrecked 3 times and he was beaten and bruised. But he was generous with his time. All he did was preach God. He was generous with his talents. He went from place to place helping and healing and serving people. And he was generous with his treasure. He wouldn't even take money from some of the places he went to. And so he was able to say this to the people in Philippi. "I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength." So compare him to Brad Pitt. I mean, whose life would you naturally want more? Obviously the rich, handsome guy. But who's the happier one? Who's the happier one? The one who knows contentment because they know Jesus. See, God is not poor. God does not want your money. He wants your heart, which, like I said, is of infinite more value than the money you have in your bank account. So let me run past the main objection that always comes up when the idea of being generous is floated. And it sounds something like this: "But I'm poor." Or, "I'll give more money when I'm earning more." And this could be time poor, it could be money poor. So what I want us to do is just stop for a second. I'm going to ask everyone to pull out their mobile phones and go to www.globalrichlist.com. Yeah, everyone but Hugh and probably Lorraine. Now, if you, and you in there, you put in your income for the last year. Now, if you earned less than $1,500 last year, then it won't work. But include money that you've been given by your parents or for your birthday. Think of the money that you spent on fast food. Or if you want, put in your parents' income. or how much money you'd like to earn. Thank you. That's what I was after. Okay, 10 more seconds. For those with the less computer skills who need more time. So I don't know about you guys, but for me, it definitely helped to put things into perspective. But to an extent, how much you earn isn't even the point. Okay, there's a story in the Bible of Jesus watching people put money into an offering bowl, and he says that the poor woman who put in two small coins put in more than anyone else that day. So clearly God doesn't care about the quantity, because this poor woman, quantity-wise, didn't put more in. He cares about your heart. See, the poor woman gave more of herself. It cost her something, and that's what God is after with us, sacrificial giving. And can I say that some members of this community have been a huge encouragement for me when it comes to being generous, because it definitely didn't come naturally for me. But in this community, I know of people who donated their entire first paycheck to charity. I spent mine on a TV. I know of people in this community who are giving away at least 50% of their earnings, tens of thousands of dollars, compared to the 0.4% out there in the community. I know of people in this community who are struggling to make ends meet, not knowing where their next meal was even going to come from, and still asking about how can they give money to this church. See, our church got out of debt last year, and the reason that we can have things like air cons and KFC nights, the reason that we can have a food bank for the community and house homeless people, things that this community is really proud about, is because of the generous donations of people, both time and money, who believe that this church is a light to this community and can help others. See, I got a pay rise last year, and one of the first things that Phoebe said to me was, we need to pray and look at where we can give more to now. See, when your standard of living goes up, does your standard of giving go up too? And let me finish with this illustration. I saw the other day a dad mowing the lawns, and his little kid, he was probably about 3 or 4, was beside him with a little toy mower and a huge smile on his face, and he was following his dad around. And I thought, that's an illustration I can use this Sunday. Because think about it. How much does the dad actually need his son's help? His toy mower isn't actually cutting the grass, but the dad delights in having his son take part with him. Just like that, God doesn't need our money, but he delights in us taking part with him. And why does the son have a huge grin on his face? It's because he knows and he loves his dad, and so he wants to be like him and he wants to help. He'll imitate his father. See, the Bible talks a lot about a cheerful giver, and of course it means money, but it also means your time and your talents as well, and that God loves a cheerful giver. And the way you become a cheerful giver is by knowing and loving the one who gives abundantly, by knowing and loving your heavenly Father and imitating him. But like I said, it isn't about the money. If your take home from this message is that God or the church wants your money, then I'll be very disappointed. God wants you. And we want you to know this generous God who has given us much more than we could ever need. Now let me circle back to my original story about going out for meals with people and someone paying the bill. The rest of us get to the cash register and the manager says it's been paid for, that there's nothing left for us to pay. In our lives, we aren't generous to try and earn God's love or to try and make things right with God, because Jesus already did that for us on the cross. We can't buy our way into heaven with gifts, because when you put your trust in Jesus, God will turn around and he'll say, it's already been paid for. Instead, when you look to the cross and see the generosity of God, then that should overflow into your heart, and that should lead you to be generous with your time, to be generous with your talents, and to be generous with your treasure, because you already have the greatest treasure in Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, if you don't have a relationship with God, then to be frank, I don't want you to give money to this church. Giving money won't save you and it won't make you a Christian. Instead, what I want from you is to chat to me or chat to someone else here and talk about how you can get into a right relationship with God. For the rest of us, here's what we're going to do. In a minute, we're going to spend some time praying, just praying about how we can all be more generous with our time, with our talents, and with our treasures. And I want you to keep praying throughout the week. And James is going to get up here next week and talk about really practical ways that you can be more generous around this church, around this evening service, or around the community, following the example of God. But I just want to finish with this Bible verse, which to me gets to the heart of living a generous life. It's from 1 John 3, and it's the Message translation. This is how we've come to understand and experience love. Christ sacrificed his life for us. This is why we ought to live sacrificially for our fellow believers and not just be out for ourselves. If you see some brother or sister in need and have the means to do something about it but turn a cold shoulder and do nothing, what happens to God's love? It disappears. And you made it disappear. My dear children, let's not just talk about love. Let's practice real love. So let's spend a minute just praying about how we can practice real love, just in silence, practice a generous life, and then I'll close us all in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for every person here tonight. I want to thank you that you know each and every one of us inside and out. I want to thank you for the ways in which you've already been generous with us. And I just pray that your generosity would flow into us and that the grace we've received, that we would extend it out to others. I just pray that you'd be stirring up our hearts to radical generosity, that this community would be known by its generosity. Lord, I thank you for the opportunities that you've given us to be generous. The money that so many others don't have that you've given to us. I pray that with generous hearts, we wouldn't hold on to it tightly, but give it out to others. With the time that you give us, all of us have different competing demands, but Lord, I pray that you would help us to discern what you want us to be spending our time on. And I thank you for the talents that you've given so many people here, to see it in so many different ways, and it just really helps to build up this community and just also build up the community outside of these walls as well. And Lord, I just thank you that you just keep giving and giving abundantly. And so Lord, I just pray all these things in your name. Amen.